This episode is brought to you by CLA.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, May 31st. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. For a lot of workers, the new normal is possibly never working 5 days a week in the office again. And that hybrid work schedule has left a glaring opportunity for businesses and retailers.
When you're at the point where 40% of the workforce is working a hybrid schedule, that is to say, spending at least some of their time outside the office, typically working in their home, in their neighborhood, it's time for local shops and restaurants and coffee shops to actually think about how to serve those customers.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal contributor Alexandra Samuel about how retailers could rewrite part of their business plans to appeal to the work-from-home crowd after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELF. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit CLAconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Many employees have returned to the office, but 40% of the American workforce still works from home part of the time, and they don't keep to the traditional 9-to-5 work schedule. Wall Street Journal contributor Alexandra Samuel joins us to discuss why retailers should make adjustments to cater to the hybrid working crowd. So, Alexandra, 40% of the workforce is a lot of people. What does that look like day to day for them?
Well, you're absolutely right about it being a lot of people. And so it looks really different depending on the role in the organization. And, you know, unfortunately, some organizations are still asking their hybrid workers to operate during the 9-to-5 day the way they did in the office and keeping them, you know, nearly literally tethered to their desks with surveillance software. But the smarter teams and smarter organizations recognize that part of the magic of hybrid is that it allows people to work at the times when they're most effective, which might not be 9-to-5. It might be 7-to-11 and then again from 2-to-8. And when you give your team the flexibility to work a split day, to work during the hours when they're most effective, it frees them up to get out into the world, into their communities, and to take care of some of their personal business during the middle of the day when they would otherwise have been trapped at the office.
Now, you're one of these hybrid workers with a schedule like that. And in the piece you wrote for the WSJ, you point out how businesses are missing out by not appealing to hybrid workers. How could they capitalize on workers who, when they're not in the office, can do their work from pretty much anywhere?
This month happens to be my 25th anniversary as a remote worker. And, you know, frankly, until 5 years ago, I did not expect the world to do a whole lot for the likes of me. I was kind of a unicorn. It wasn't that common for people to work remotely. But when you're at the point where 40% of the workforce is working a hybrid schedule, that is to say, spending at least some of their time outside the office, typically working in their home, in their neighborhood, it's time for local shops and restaurants and coffee shops to actually think about how to serve those customers. And for example, that means that, you know, coffee shops need to set themselves up for co-working, not just in a sort of afterthought way, but by thinking about how can we make this spot really comfortable for people who want to spend a longer stretch of the day here instead of kind of gently or not so gently shooing them out the door after an hour or two.
And a big part of anyone's career, whether they're working hybrid or in their office full time, is networking. We hear people talk about it all the time. How could businesses appeal to people who do want to do networking but are not really tethered to the office schedule?
Networking is maybe especially important for hybrid workers and also, frankly, a fantastic opportunity for businesses because when we aren't spending all of our days on the commute in the office, a couple things can happen. The downside is people can get pretty isolated, and even, you know, introverts need a dose of fellow humans in order to be happy and healthy. And it can be hard to get some of that contact when you're working from home. So networking is pretty important in fighting that isolation. But then the flip side of that is that when people are doing more of their human interaction outside the office, it provides an opportunity to really infuse an organization with fresh thinking, fresh ideas. It's not just the same echo chamber. You're out there meeting people in other organizations, maybe even in other industries, and that's going to change your ideas about your own work. And for that to happen effectively for people who are working a hybrid schedule, networking needs to get out of downtown. It needs to get beyond the sort of 5 to 7 after work cocktail hour and start working its way into the hybrid day at the times when remote workers are most hungry for engagement and interaction and at the times when it maybe fits with the rest of their life schedule. So I personally would love to see networking activities in local communities, in suburbs, in small neighborhoods, in residential areas, and to see events that happen over lunchtime. Like, why isn't my local restaurant holding a weekly lunch special for people who work from home on, I don't know, Fridays, so that I get to meet the other coworkers in my neighborhood? Those are the kind of opportunities that would be fantastic for local businesses that are trying to bring in a little more business during the day.
Now, many people say that the pandemic changed the workplace schedule for good, and hybrid work schedules are here to stay. How should cities and municipalities make adjustments?
The most fundamental or immediate adjustment, anyhow, is transit schedules, right? I mean, the idea of a transit system that increases service during the sort of 8 to 9 rush, and again at the sort of 5 to 6, 5 to 7 rush, you know, it doesn't really make sense in an era where people are not only working remotely more, but even their office days might be a little bit different in terms of schedule. And it becomes a little bit of a vicious circle where if transit schedules stick to the 9 to 5 workday, then people feel like they have to organize their working lives around that schedule. I think it's time for us to work with something more like a consistent schedule from, you know, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. so that people can work different schedules. It's actually a better use of resources. And I think it will also lead to more effectiveness, both remotely and in the office, when people know that they can put their office time in on the schedule and the days that are going to work best for them. But, you know, honestly, that's not the only piece of it, because the other thing that cities really have to reckon with is the fact that we are going to have some pretty different patterns in one neighborhood to the next. The reality is remote work is not an evenly distributed opportunity. It tends to be people who are white collar, more educated, more affluent. And so I think we're likely to see neighborhoods where a significant proportion of people are working remotely and neighborhoods where a very small proportion of people are working remotely.
So it sounds like that not only can businesses benefit from this, but so could hybrid workers. But if businesses are slow to adapt, what could workers do to encourage businesses to adjust?
First and foremost, introduce yourself to your local cafe owner. Introduce yourself to your favorite shops. Let them know that you're working from home and that there are things they could do that might encourage you to spend a little more time or a little more money with their business. And it can be really small. I mean, one of the examples I offered in the article is my local grocery store times its daily rotisserie chickens for the commuter crowd. I would really like the rotisserie chickens to be available at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, I got to talk to the deli owner and let her know that's what I'm looking for. You know, the more we ask for what we're looking for in our local shops, and also just talk to them, let them know we're kind of part of their local business community now during the day. And the more we take those breaks at 11 a.m. for a quick errand, at 2 p.m. to go and work at the coffee shop for an hour, the more our local businesses are going to see that, yeah, there is a market here for us to provide better service, new kinds of products for people who are at home during the day. And that's going to be our competitive advantage in this new era of hybrid work.
That's WSJ contributor Alexandra Samuel. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.